at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. And I hope that even as you hear them sing that, that you're rejoicing in your heart. When you think about the cross, you think about the burden of sin that every human being struggles with. And then you realize it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be forgiven as you put faith in the gospel, the good news. And that's what we come together, is we gather together to worship the Lord. We're learning more and more about this good news, the gospel, according to Mark. And we're in chapter 11 this morning, and we're coming to this issue of authority. Now, how many of you had at least a little bit, maybe you were off school a bit this Wednesday or out of work a little bit this Wednesday? Raise your hands if you had a little, raise them high. Wasn't that a blessing, you know? They canceled Greenville County Schools Tuesday night, you know, and in our home, we're just kind of watching, you know, the television or the website or whatever. It's like, come on, you know, come on, snow, right? Cancel. And we were just hanging in there, and finally they said, at least at the university that I teach at, that, you know, they canceled classes in the morning. And so that's exciting, because at least you could sleep in a little bit. And then they canceled them in the afternoon. And I'm just really excited, and my girls are excited, and it's just wonderful. And so I have a friend, and he works at a bank. And so I texted him. I said, you don't have to go to work today. I said, there's snow. And it's a snow day. And he texts me back, too late. I'm already here. So I texted him back, tell everybody at the bank they're closed. They don't have to work today. They get to go home. I declare it a snow day. Okay? He replied, I don't think that will work. I texted him back, tell him I'm Pastor Greg, and that's what I said. Okay? And he very kindly replied something like, I'll pass it along, which I think was a nice way of saying I'm going to ignore you from now on. Okay. Now, here's what happened. I made a decision that because of the biggest initial snowstorm yet in Greenville in 2014, I think at my house we got about a quarter inch. Okay. Because of the great snow, that I think every bank should close, and that the bank worker should have off. And nobody respected that, because they basically think, who is this guy? He doesn't have any authority. I mean, where does he get off making a decision like that? That's exactly what the Jewish leaders thought about Jesus. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, what makes him think that he can say what he says and do what he does? Today's message is called A Question of Authority, and we'll be looking again at this last portion of Mark's Gospel in chapter 11 from verses 27 through 33. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a Bible, you have given us your Word, and through it we can understand who Jesus is, and we can understand why he came. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us even this morning to understand that Jesus truly has all authority. Whether people recognize it or not, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And he has all authority. We pray that you would help us to have the eyes to see that this morning. And that we would worship you in a way that you are worthy of being worshipped. Lord, would you help us, please, this morning? And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking this morning about a question of authority. If you look in your text from Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through the end of the chapter, if you were to look for the word authority, our keyword, you would find that it occurs four times in this half dozen verses or so. But it's not something that we just find in Mark chapter 11, because let's just do a quick review in our mind's eyes. We've been working through this. Jesus ministered with complete authority. Wherever Jesus went, he had authority. Jesus spoke with complete authority. The way Jesus talked, guys, was not how people talked back then. If you wanted to be a good rabbi, you know what you did? You went to school and you studied. So when someone asked you a question, then you would quote all of the famous rabbis of the past. So, Jesus, can you answer a question for me? If he was a typical rabbi, he would say, well, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said that. That is not how Jesus talked. When Jesus wanted to say something, you know what he would say? Truly I say unto you. And no one talked like that back then. The average Jewish ruler would have heard that and said, arrogance. You are not allowed to talk that way. What makes you think that you can say, truly I say? But he did, because he was God. And that's how he spoke. He spoke with complete authority. People were amazed. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. They were amazed at his teaching. Notice why. For he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. This is not how the Jewish people that day thought. 5 verses later, Mark 1:27. They were all amazed. They debated among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching. Here it comes. With authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And people are just absolutely overwhelmed at the words of Jesus Christ, as well as the works of Jesus Christ. He acted with complete authority. Jesus is the kind of person, we just covered this recently, just look back a little bit in Mark chapter 11. Pick it up in verse 15, please. Right after cursing the fig tree, which is in a sense cursing the temple, Mark 11, verse 15, it says, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. He began to teach and say to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you've made it a robber's den. He just walks into the temple and he starts throwing tables over and he throws people out. Jesus doesn't ask anyone's permission to do that. Jesus walks in and does it. Because everything he does has authority. He speaks with authority. He acts with complete authority. And people are just like, wow. And the Jewish leaders have decided they had enough. Now, the Jewish leadership at this time in history is what was called the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin consisted of a group of 71 Jews. And they basically controlled the nation of Israel from a religious standpoint. They were in charge of everything. And actually, they even had some political power, the power that the Roman government would let them have at that time. How did they respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pick it up. We're in Mark chapter 11, verse 27. It says, they came again to Jerusalem. So we need to review a little bit about what's going on here in verse 27. Let's just go back real quick and do a quick review. Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem. It's what we call Palm Sunday. He's riding on a colt. That's a messianic sign. And the people are putting down palm leaves in front of him to kind of welcome him as a great king. He walks into the city of Jerusalem. And where does he go? He goes straight to the temple. We've talked about this. Here is this just incredible fortress. It's a religious fortress in a sense. It's the dominant feature in the Jewish life of that time, both religiously, even from an architectural standpoint. And Jesus walks right into the temple. Now, when we say again into the temple, he's not going into the inner chamber here. He would be outside here along this outside area. He looks around. He walks away and he goes back across the valley to the Mount of Olives. And that's the end of it. He says nothing, but then he comes back the next morning. So this would be Monday. On his way to come back to the city, he enters again. He goes straight to the temple. On the way, he sees a fig tree. And the fig tree is what? It has leaves, but it's nothing but leaves. That's verse 13 of Mark chapter 11. And what does he do? Verse 14. He curses it. May no one eat fruit from you again. Why? Because that fig tree was a picture of the nation of Israel in general and temple worship in particular. So what does Jesus do? On the way in, he goes inside. He goes inside the temple. He cleanses the temple is normally what we say. I would suggest maybe a better rendering would be he curses the temple and then he leaves. Goes back into the Mount of Olives across the way, and now it's Tuesday morning. What does he do? Well, they see the withered fig tree. Jesus talks to them about what happened and cursing the fig tree. and how they don't need a temple. They can just pray right to God. We call that message access to God, temple-free access to God. And now, this is Tuesday morning. He's inside the temple. That's verse 27. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Put those three together, you have the Sanhedrin. That's the governing Jewish body. They send the council. It says in verse 27, they came to him, verse 28, and began saying to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? So what are these Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, doing? They are challenging Jesus' authority. They begin by challenging the nature of his authority. Notice what they say in verse 28. By what authority are you doing these things? Show us your credentials, right? You know, maybe you guys are out hunting somewhere and one of these game wardens come up and say, do you have a license to hunt? Show me your credentials. Maybe you're driving down the street and blue lights come behind you and a nice officer comes up and he says, may I see your driver's license, please? Right? These are authorities that are saying, do you have the right to do what you're doing? Show me your credentials. And that's what they say to Jesus. They're challenging. Do you have this authority? And if you think you do, where'd you get it from? Go a little farther in verse 28. He says, the Sanhedrin say to him, or who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, I realize these are questions, but these are not sincere questions. Guys, there's at least, I'm sure there's more than two, but there's at least two reasons to ask a question. One reason you may ask a question is you could say to Jesus, if you're truly God, I want to believe in you. Would you help me? Jesus would gladly answer that kind of question. That's not the Sanhedrin's kind of question. They're not coming up to Jesus because they lack information. They're coming up to Jesus because they don't want him there. And they're basically trying to demonstrate that he has no authority. They have made a decision that they will reject him. And so they're challenging him. That's basically what's going on in this account. It's something that happens even in our court all the time today, where people challenge other people. Do you have the authority to do what you do? I was trying to think of an example of this, and one that came to my mind. Well, I like sports, and I think most of you know that. But it was something, a little biographical account that I've watched in the last couple of weeks. And it has to do with former high school football player in the state of Ohio. Some would have considered him perhaps the best running back to come out of the state ever, perhaps. And his name was Maurice Clarett. And he was a high school player who went into college football in the year 2002, rushed for over 1,000 yards in his freshman year, which is pretty hard to do. And he led his team to an undefeated season. That team then went to the national championship. And in a game that his team was supposed to lose, they actually won. And in double overtime, he's the one who scored the winning touchdown. So this is a very gifted athlete. Now, as you may or may not know, in basketball, you don't have to go to college, right? There are guys who, you know their names, they graduate from high school, they go straight to the NBA. In Major League Basketball, it's the same way, but did you know it's not that way in football? Did you know that the NFL will not allow a high school graduate immediately upon graduation to enter the NFL draft? And the rules say, I quote, you must be 3 years removed from high school before entering the NFL draft. Well, this college football player, Maurice Clarett, he basically challenged that. And he got together some lawyers, attorneys, I don't know who was paying for this, and some very powerful people, and they took the NFL to court. And they said, you can't stop me from getting into the draft just because I've only been out of high school 1 year. That is wrong, and I challenge you. And they challenged the authority. And the ruling came back that the decision stands. And this college football player lost. And the story goes on. He actually then And probably already by that time, his life really took a very bad turn and got involved in all kinds of challenging things. But here's my point. You say, what did he do? He was saying, you can't tell me what to do. I challenge your authority. That was the heart of the Sanhedrin towards Jesus, right? Who do you think you are doing what you do? Question. How does Jesus respond? You know what Jesus does? Jesus challenges their authority to challenge his authority. Notice verse 29, please. Jesus said to them, these Jewish leaders that are challenging him, I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus is not evading the question. Notice what he says at the end of verse 29. I will answer your question. You want to know where my authority comes? I'll tell you. You want to know my credentials? I will tell you. But before I do, I'm going to ask you one question. Now, notice what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't say, I have authority because I can prove to you that I have come, right, with the full blessing of the Jewish Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes. He doesn't appeal to any authority like that. He doesn't go back in time to the great rabbis of the past and say, that's where I get my authority. He certainly doesn't appeal to the Roman government. He doesn't appeal to any government. And watch this. He doesn't even appeal to the scriptures. Jesus says, I have one question for you. You answer me. And right then, he is clearly making a statement, right? Jesus is telling them where the authority is. He is the one that has authority. And he's going to help them to understand that as he asks them this one basic question. Notice it's in verse 29. Jesus asks them, introed in 29, the question's in verse 30. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me. Notice how he begins, verse 29, answer me. Notice how he ends, verse 30, answer me. Do you want to ask me about authority? I'm listening. Where did John get his authority? Now, notice verse 31. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, well, then why did you not believe him? But shall we say from men? They were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. Here's the bottom line. This is what Jesus is asking. John, where did his authority come from? Answer that question. And what was Jesus doing? In that very question was the answer to their question, guys. What Jesus is saying is my authority comes from the same place that John got his authority. So I'm asking you a question. Where did John get his authority? Now, did they know? They knew. All of the people that had read this gospel account knew. Anyone who followed the life of Jesus knew. They knew that Jesus was baptized by John. How does Mark begin his gospel? Chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. You say, what happened then? Immediately coming up out of the water, he, Jesus, saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens. And what did that voice say? You, speaking of Jesus, are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. As John baptized Jesus, this is the testimony of God to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, so tell me, where did John get his authority? And as soon as you realize that, you'll know, I got mine from the same place. I come with the full authority of God because Jesus was God. And the Sanhedrin knew that's what he claimed. But they refused to acknowledge it. So what did they do? They simply said, basically, pass. And they refused to answer the question. Notice that, verse 33. answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And technically, that's a lie. They knew where Jesus had his authority from. Jesus had his authority from God because Jesus was God. And at his baptism, God the Father declared that this is my beloved Son. This is God incarnate. This isn't God in the flesh. And that's why Jesus went around with such authority. But they would not believe. And so they refused to answer his question. So now what does Jesus say? Remember, this all begins with the Sanhedrin. Where'd you get your authority from? Jesus' response, you tell me where John got his, and then I'll answer your question. Their response, no answer. Jesus' response, no answer. And that's Jesus' response. Notice the end of verse 33. Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You say, what does that mean? You know what Jesus is saying here, guys? Jesus is making it very clear that when the Jewish leaders rejected him, that he in turn was rejecting them. The whole temple, with all of its worship, Jesus cursed it. And it would fall soon. We've talked about what was to come. Here is Jesus coming up to these leaders, and they say, we reject you. And you know what Jesus says? And I reject you. Because Jesus accepts no one who will not bow before him and acknowledge his authority. Again, please make sure we understand this. This group of the Sanhedrin, they're not a sincere group of people that are lacking information and saying, you know, I think I want to believe in you, but I just don't understand. That's not their heart at all. This is a group of people who know exactly all the information they need to know. And in their hearts, they choose to believe that Jesus simply doesn't have authority. That's what's going on in this text, a question of authority. Now let's go back to that opening illustration, which was true, by the way, about me texting. In fact, I did it twice to someone else. Okay? It's Wednesday, and I'm enjoying my day off. So I text another brother who works, we'll just say, at a large automotive assembly plant. Okay? And I texted him, and I said, take the day off and tell everyone else the plant is closed because of snow. And he texted me back, and he said, you can't do that. And I texted him back and said, yes, I can. Tell everybody there that your pastor has just shut the plant down because of snow. And he replied with the text that says, I wonder what you're fired means in German. Okay, that was his answer, and some of you understand that, okay? And I texted him back a smiley face. You say, what was that all about? I don't have authority. I don't have any authority to close a bank. I don't have any authority to close down an assembly plant because of a little bit of snow. But Jesus has authority. Jesus has all authority. And we see this in the Word of God. Here's a couple of things I want to leave us with this morning, okay? First of all, you know what? Guys, we can speak with authority, caution, when we speak from God's Word. Today, a lot of people don't like the issue of authority. People don't like dogmatism. It's the only thing they're certain of, right? Most people today are dogmatically opposed to any kind of dogmatism. And people will sometimes negatively say, you know, I don't really like that guy. He's so authoritative. That's how Jesus was. Now, let's be careful. When I speak from myself, I generally don't have authority. But you know what? When you open up God's Word and you read people what the Scriptures say and you explain to them that Jesus Christ went to a cross and He died for your sin, and if you put your faith in Him, you could be forgiven. And when they say, yeah, and how about other ways? You know, like, are there many different ways? You know, many different paths up this one mountain? You could say, well, no. You know, there's not. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And you say, how can He say that? Because He had full authority. That's how. In God's Word, there is authority. We speak with authority when we speak from God's Word. And what does God's Word teach us? Secondly, that salvation demands submission to authority. How is it that a person can be forgiven of all of their sin? When they confess that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Scripture says, you will be saved. Once we come to know Jesus, as believers in Jesus, what do? We continue to submit to Jesus' authority as we follow Jesus. We don't follow Jesus to try to become Christians. We all know this. We put our faith in Jesus. And as we're born again, as we're saved, we then begin to follow Jesus, continuing to submit to His authority. And we go through lives, by God's grace, not thinking that we are in charge, because we're not. We submit to His authority. You say, okay, but what about all of those people, even today, who are just like the Sanhedrin? And they maybe even open a Bible and read it. They might even hear a pastor like me preaching a message this Sunday morning. And they say, you know, that's interesting. That's even historically maybe something I'll think about. But I'm just not interested in bowing my knee to Jesus Christ as Lord. This text makes very clear that Jesus rejects those who reject His authority. I say this with compassion, I trust, and kindness. If you're worshiping with us this morning, regardless of who you are, if you reject Jesus Christ, He will reject you. And there's no salvation for you. And that's what Jesus taught with complete authority. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because any person can come to the place where they, as they repent of their sin, put faith in Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He has all authority. And He humbled Himself and became a man, the story of Christmas, and He went to that cross and He died in my place, and He hung there and paid the price of my sin, victoriously rose from the dead, defeating death. And that any person who believes in Him can be saved. That's the gospel message. That's the Word of the living God. That is what Jesus came to do. And He had the authority to do it. Let's pray.